of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The Amplified says it like this: For if because of one man's trespass, his lapse, his offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, his unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, they shall reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, it's finished. It is finished. The key words that we want to bring out here, we want to bring out three words. Receive. Somebody say receive. Grace. And then righteousness. Okay? For some strange reason, it's quite apparent that human beings, even though we see what happened on the cross, even though we see the tragic death that Jesus died, for some strange reason, it's quite apparent that we do two things. We're either far to the right or we're far to the left. Far to the left, we get born again, and then we think that it's based upon our merit, our time that we spend in prayer, our time that we spend reading the word. We think it's our accomplishments in life, amen, that has something to do with our position with God. That's far to the left. We think that because, amen, we're not out smoking and we're not out drinking and then perhaps we're not out sleeping around, that somehow we have a little bit more favor than the person that's out there doing that. But tell your neighbor, said neighbor, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Your Mr. and Mrs. Do-goodness got nothing to do with your position with God. As a matter of a fact, you couldn't do good enough to please God. The Word of God says, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. So for you to get up in the morning and think that you're pleasing God based upon your works, based upon how much you do and how much you come to church. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. If you think that you're pleasing God with that, guess what? That's a lie from the pit of hell. Yes. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For him that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. The responsibility of the born-again believer who has been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus is to trust, to rely, to depend, and to lean our entire human personality upon Jesus. Because he is the source of all righteousness. He is the source of all strength. You catching what I'm saying? He is the reason why you and I exist today. He is the reason why you and I are good at whatever we may be good at. He is the very reason why you accomplish what you accomplish. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. The far right side is that we see what he done on the cross and then we just reject his grace. We just refuse his grace. Amen. My daughter was telling me about a debate that she was in at her school, and they showed it on television because they asked her to be an atheist in this particular debate. And she said, Dad, I'm going to fail the class because I don't know how to be an atheist. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. But she was telling me about the debate, and she said there was a young lady on there said, I will not serve your God. How can I serve a God that beats people and allows these things to happen and this to happen and this to happen? I'm an atheist. Now, she know that God exists, but yet she says she's an atheist, and atheists don't believe that God exists. Come on. But the far right side is that people just reject his grace. What we want to do is we want to get over here in the middle. We want to be people that receive his grace and at the same time realize that it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by his spirit. The first word I want to deal with out of this text of the scripture is the word receive. Somebody say receive. See, in the old covenant, Jesus told us, or in the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible tells us to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. But what you have to understand and what you have to know is that that was old covenant. That was the Levitical code. That was the Torah. No man and no woman had the ability to love God. with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, and all their strength. The book of Romans teaches you and I that the law was a setup to let you and I know how much of a failure we were. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. There's no man or woman on planet Earth that ever fulfilled the law in its totality save one. His name is Jesus. Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus the Messiah. He's the King of Kings. Come on. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Master. He's the Savior. Based upon what he done, every human being on planet Earth has the ability to access his grace, to access his favor. But guess what? You and I never had the ability to love him. Come on, does somebody say amen? Amen. So the first thing we have to see out of this scripture is that we have to receive. Somebody say receive. The word receive is a compound word. It means back and it means to take. So the word receive means to take back. Literally, it's something that actually belongs to you, but you and I have to take it back. Yeah. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. The Bible tells us to receive the abundance of grace. Come on, somebody say grace. Now, we got to define what grace is. Because if we can define what grace is, then we can set every person up in this room today to walk out of this place walking in the sum total of God's glory because you become a receiver. So now we're going to teach you what grace is. Somebody say grace. Grace is defined as the divine influence upon our heart and its reflection in our life. Grace is defined out of James chapter 4, verse 6, as the power of the Holy Spirit. But in the Amplified, it's defined in three different terms. Somebody say, undeserved. That means you didn't do anything to get it. Unmerited. That means you didn't do anything to get it. And unearned. That means you didn't do anything to get it. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. See, we like the pride in ourselves, don't we? Come on. We like the pride in ourselves. I pray this many hours a day. I prayed in the last month more than I ever have in my whole entire life. I'm spending more time with God, and I'm not bragging, but guess what? Through this time of prayer, the Holy Ghost, he didn't come to me and say, oh, son, I'm proud of you, how much you've been praying. I'm proud of you, how much you've been fasting. He says, son, the only reason why you have the ability to pray is because of my grace. The reason why you're drawn to me is because of my grace. You better catch what I'm saying. See, I called you to do this, and I have something. Not me, but God has something that he wants to reveal to his people. So guess what? He drew me to him so I can start revealing the thing. It got nothing to do with me. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by his spirit. Come on, somebody say amen. See, all credit and all glory and all honor goes back to Jesus. It goes back to Jesus. Come on, I said it goes back to Jesus. Whoo. So grace, unmerited. Come on, somebody say unmerited. Unearned. Come on, somebody say unearned. And undeserved. Don't that just pinch you in your side because we like to feel accomplishments? Come on. But what if I told you that every good thing that you do is because of his grace on the inside of you? What if I told you that every dollar that you make was because of his grace? What if I told you that good relationship that you have with your husband and or your wife, guess what? That's because of his grace. What if I told you that the reason why this church is doing what it's doing is because of his grace? Come on, somebody say amen. What if I told you that you ain't got no sickness in your body? It's because of his grace. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Come on, everybody else experiencing it, but you ain't experiencing it. Why? It's because of his grace. See, some people confuse grace with a covering for sin. And grace ain't the covering for sin, baby. You think he died on the cross, experienced what he experienced, so you and I could still stay stuck in sin, still stay stuck in our problems, still stay stuck on drugs, stuck on crack, stuck on alcohol, stuck on abuse, living your life out. You've been molested 25 years ago and you're still remembering that. What you should be doing is remembering what he said about you. It's his grace. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. My God, you can pimp that old man. You know how you do that? You remember what happened to you, and you say, yeah, I remember, but guess what? I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, so now I'm going to find somebody else that's going through what I went through, and I'm going to use that old man for God's glory. Why? Because of his grace. Come on, somebody say amen to this. See, you take this message and you get in your spirit, just like your pastor, you'll be free. Because you know what? I've made a whole lot of mistakes. And I always try to fix them and be perfect and be meticulous, if that's the right word, about everything that I do. You know what I mean? And I keep falling short. And then I realize it's not about me. It's about him. Guess what? Until the day I die, I'm going to make mistakes. And baby, you're going to make them too. Come on. See, you don't make the same mistakes that I make, because guess what? The Holy Ghost ain't dealing with you the way he's dealing with me. He knows where you are. He knows where I am. Guess what? He don't want me to be where you are and don't want you to be where I am. He wants us to be where he is. I can't measure. I can't measure my faith by any man no more, because every time I turn around, one of them falling. Guess what? I can't measure my faith by them. I got to measure my faith by Jesus. I can't look under no man and say, this is who I want to be. Why? Why? Because that man, he has to be following Christ. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Every man got bones in his closet. See, I might not be sleeping around, but you don't know what I do in secret. And I'm not telling you that I'm doing sin. But guess what? I got to answer to him for myself. And baby, I challenge you to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You need to answer to him for yourself. Amen. Somebody say amen. You got to receive that grace. You got to receive it. Let me tell you an easy way to receive it. Just wake up in the morning and humbly, like a little kid, say, Lord, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I can't even get up out the bed if it's not because of you. Come on, some people didn't get up out the bed. Come on, some people woke up and their mate was laying in the bed still. Come on, somebody say amen. It's because of his grace. How many second chances did he give you a second chance? Come on. See, we take people and then we put them in a box and then we say, well, one time, two time, three strikes, you're out. But God don't got no striking out field. Amen. God don't play life like he playing a baseball game or a basketball game. In his game, it's finished and we all win. Lord have mercy. You better catch what I'm saying. See, in a natural race, somebody's going to win. But in the kingdom of God, everybody win. You can run across that line with a wheelchair, baby, and you still win. You can run across that. You better catch what I'm saying. You could be the last one. You could have fell asleep in the middle of a thing, but God's unfailing love and unmerited grace will keep wooing you on no matter where you are. Lord, have mercy. The Bible said, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. See, God loved you and I so much. I'm getting there. I'm going back. God loved you and I so much. Whew. He loved us so much that he gave his one begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have life everlasting, life eternal, the God kind of life, Zoe. He loved us that much. But then he said in verse 17, for God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent him that the world through him might be made whole. See, the only reason we can experience his grace is because he expressed his love. Romans 5:8, for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. The Bible says that for scarcely would one man die for a righteous man, let alone somebody die for somebody that's unrighteous. Are you catching what I'm saying? Jesus died for you and I. Lord, have mercy. Isn't that good? So he expressed his grace through his love. Okay, so you and I have to receive the grace of God, the grace of God, the unmerited favor. I'm telling you, this is medicine and it's going to help your soul. Because guess what? I'm going to teach you what you're supposed to be doing. See, you and I, we focus on all the works. Well, if I hear people tell me all the time, Pastor, you know, a guy told me yesterday, you know what I mean? He said, I feel like you're my counselor and I need to come to your church. I'm like, well, just come on. And the first thing that people generally say to me is they say, Pastor, they say, I don't want to come to church and I'm drinking. I want to be real when I come to church. Well, baby, you'll never be able to come to church and be real unless you accept the one that is real. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. See, we always focus on the works, don't we? We focus on what we do. And we think that what we do pleases God. It's not about what you do. It's about what he did. Lord, have mercy. Why do you think those three words is echoed throughout all of humanity over the last thousands of years? It is finished. Literally, it is done. You and I got to start understanding the revelation of the finished work of the cross. Amen. Now, if you was here Wednesday, I challenge you, get the message from Wednesday, because you're going to find out that you're dead anyhow. Look at your neighbor and say, you're dead. Yeah. Amen. If you came here because you wanted to come to church, then you came to the wrong place. If you came here to be the church, you're at the right place. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Yeah. Now I'm going to show you something. He said, receive grace. We found out what receive meant. We found out what grace is. Grace can be better defined as who grace is. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, but then the third thing he said, the free gift of righteousness. Say that one time, the free gift of righteousness. Let's say it two times, the free gift of righteousness. See, that's going to take that whole thing out of your mindset that you're righteous based upon what you do and that your righteousness falls away when you do something. God is not concerned about your do. He's concerned about you understanding your who. It's not important about what you do. You need to be more concerned about who you belong to. Because your do is a product of who you belong to. And your who you are, is a product of who you belong to. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, I'm going to prove it now. I'm going to prove it in the word because I'm a word teacher. So I'm going to show you in the word that you quit worrying about your do and start be concerned about your who. Come on, somebody say amen. The Bible said receive the free gift of righteousness. That means that righteousness is not merited. Righteousness is not deserved. And righteousness is not earned. Righteousness is a free gift. If I have to pay for righteousness, then righteousness is not a gift. The Apostle Paul said, listen, if righteousness came by the law, he said, then Jesus died in vain. Lord have mercy. Now watch this right here. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. See, we got to get this in our spirit. Because, see, God wants to move us on to glory. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
He wants to move us on to glory. And as I said Wednesday, this message is not giving you permission to go out and just act like a butthead, act like a knucklehead, act like a dingbat, act like a big dummy. This message is not giving you the right to treat people like crap. This message is showing you that you can't do it right in your own power. This message is revealing to you that you need Jesus. You cannot live without Jesus. You cannot have a successful business without Jesus. You cannot have a successful marriage without Jesus. Baby, you can't raise your kids without Jesus. And I know some women, they are so independent because they've been beat up by their father and beat down by their boyfriends, and they got babies by different guys. But guess what? And you built that independence and you, I can do it on my own. Baby, you can't do it on your own. You need Jesus. You need his grace. You need his love. You need his mercy. You need his favor. Amen. He'll be a husband to you when you don't got a husband. He'll be a daddy to you when you don't got a daddy. Lord have mercy. He'll be a father to you. He'll be a mother to you. He's the all-breasted one. He's El Shaddai, the many-breasted one. Are you catching what I'm saying? He can meet whatever your need is. That's why when Moses said, who should I tell sent me? He said, I am. What does I am mean? I'm the self-existent one. I am whatever you need me to be. If you need me to be your bank teller, I'll be your bank teller. If you need me to be your daddy, I'll be your daddy. I'm God, and I'm God alone. You catching what I'm saying? Pastor Max said, you picking up what I'm putting down. Amen.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. We are without excuse because guess what? We serve the Most High God. Come on. The Most High God. That means that somebody else can have a God, but he's the Most High God. We serve the Almighty God. Somebody can have a mighty God, but he's the Almighty God. Lord have mercy. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Watch this right here. Verse 21, for he hath made him, I want you to remember up here, he hath made him who?
Jesus.
To be what? For us. Now, let's make sure you get this, okay? Jesus didn't die for sin. Jesus became sin. I'm going to say it again for somebody who might be religious minded. He didn't die for sin. Jesus became sin. See, at the cross, a great exchange happened. He became poor so that you could become rich. He became sick so that you can become healed. Come on. He became bound so you can be delivered. Lord, have mercy, man. You catching what happened here? He became sin. The Amplified says, who knew absolutely no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Here it is. This is key. You and I were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Didn't just say you and I were made the righteousness of God. It said we were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody say in Christ Jesus. Okay, now watch this right here. Outside of Christ Jesus, there is no righteousness. You need to understand something, that God's law is holy. God's law required fulfillment. You need to hear what I'm saying. In the Old Testament, the priests would come in, and I told you this before. They would come in, and they would go through the ceremonial washings and the different things, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, all these different things, and they got back there to where the mercy seat was, and they would sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. Aaron, the Levitical, they sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat. Amen? And then they would profess the sins of all of mankind and for themselves, and if they wasn't upright, they would die, and you would stop hearing the bells ringing, and they would pull them out because they were dead. But in the new covenant, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us that Jesus entered in once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And then it specifically says he don't have to go back and do it again. He died once. Come on, somebody say he died once. His blood satisfied the requirement of the old covenant. His blood. So when you wake up with breath in your body, it's because of his blood. Whether you know him or not, don't take it for granted. It's his blood. Lord, have mercy. The wrath of God will come upon all humanity if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. His law required righteous fulfillment. So Jesus presented his blood as the righteousness of God and fulfilled every requirement of the law, all 613 of them. Every single thing that God said that man had to do in order to please him, Jesus walked in and stood in our stead. The Bible called him the substitute. The Bible calls him the propitiation of our sin. That means that Jesus became the atonement. They don't have to celebrate the day of atonement no more because he became the atonement. You better catch what I'm saying. Because of his blood, you and I can live a good life. Because of his blood, you and I can live a successful life. You better pick up what I'm putting down. God is concerned about every part of your life. He's concerned about your marriage. He's concerned about your kids. He's concerned about your career. He's concerned about everything. Why? Because Jesus totally annihilated the power of the enemy by his blood. So it's wrong for you and I to think that what we do make us righteous. He who knew no sin, baby, I'm trying to help you today. I'm telling you, I'm letting you know something today. You are free. Lord, have mercy. You are free. You are free from sickness. You are free from disease. You are free from poverty. You are free from lack. You are free from bondage. You are free. Okay, somebody won't argue with me. If Jesus died on the cross and his blood was shed for you and I to make us free, watch this right here, and you think that your little problem can stop the righteousness of God, then what you're saying is that his death was in vain. You think that you're singled out on planet Earth all by yourself with your little bitty issues and your little bitty problem, that you got enough sin on your life that can stop the blood of Jesus? That's the lie from the pit of hell. You better catch what I'm saying. His blood satisfied God. His blood satisfied God. It ain't about you, it's about him. Glory be to God. He became sin. He didn't just die for sin, he became sin. Sin of all of mankind, from day one, the number one offense of Adam, all the way up to today, and all the way up until he returns, every single sin laid upon his body. Lord, have mercy. I preach to myself. I'm free. Pastor Claude, you are free. You are free. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, it's finished. Now, am I telling you that you can go out and do anything? No, I'm telling you because it's finished, you are no longer the same person, baby. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The same way you used to yield your servants to obey unrighteousness, get up in the morning and yield to the Holy Ghost. Get up in the morning and yield to the Word of God. Don't be getting up telling my pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't know my problems. You don't know. You ain't been through what I've been through, pastor. I went through this. I went through that. Baby, you ain't went through enough. The blood. Man. Glory to God. Look at Romans 5 and 15. Let's turn there. Take your neighbor and say, I'm not righteous because of what I do. I'm righteous because of what he did. You better say that again. I'm not righteous because of what I do. I'm righteous because of what he did. See, the devil is a liar. And see, that punk gonna leave this place today. You know why? Don't get mad at me because, that's just me. That's just me. Let me tell you something right quick, okay? See, people need to know this because you have to remember God's word. You got to get that other crap off your mind and get his word on your mind. Don't let the traditions of man make word God no effect for you. I don't care if you're Catholic, Protestant, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Baptist, Pentecostal, United Pentecostal. Baby, I'm all of them. I don't care what you call yourself. What you better do is allow the word to supersede that tradition. Because Jesus walked planet Earth and he said, this is the one thing that makes me mad. Make, Lord, have mercy. He said, the traditions of man make the word of no effect. Jesus could be standing in front of you in your bedroom telling you that you're healed, set free, and delivered. And then you start thinking you got to suffer because some old guy with a bunch of beads told you you had to suffer. You better listen to the word. You better listen to the word and tell that L to get the L out of here. Help me, Holy Ghost. Romans 5 and 15. I want you to see this right quick. See, all we're doing today is we want you free. You know why? Because when you realize what he done on the cross, that's why I want to show you that. When you realize what he done on the cross, you can't do nothing but be a carrier of his love. You're going to walk to your neighbor's house, amen? You ain't going to walk there asking for sugar. You're going to walk there taking sugar. You better catch what I'm saying because your whole goal is I'm going to give him some sugar, but I'm going to give him the real sweet thing. I'm going to give him Jesus. Come on. Romans 5 and 15. Here we go, right here. It says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Somebody say free gift. Free gift. Now say this, if I got to pay for it, come on, say it. If I got to pay for it, then it's not free. So why would the Bible call righteousness a free gift? Because it's free. Lord, have mercy. See, some people, they just want to work for it. Some people, they just want to work for it. Well, maybe if I do this, and maybe if I do that, and maybe if I go feed five people, and maybe if I give an extra offering, and maybe if I call United Way, and maybe if I do this, and maybe if I do that, and God is saying, all that mess is a bunch of garbage. That's a bunch of garbage. Maybe if you realize that you're righteous because of what he did, then go do all that other stuff. Don't do that because you're trying to get merit from God. Do that because you just love him. Come on, just give to somebody because you just love him. Come on. Lord, have mercy. Watch this right here. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace. What gift are they talking about? Righteousness. Come on, somebody say righteousness. See, verse 17 says that the gift is the free gift of righteousness. That's what you need to see. Righteousness is a free gift. You were made righteous because he became sin. You were made righteous because he became sin. And I'm going to get to something in a minute. You were made righteous because he became sin. Come on, say, I was made righteous because he became sin. Now watch this right here. It says, which is by one man Jesus Christ hath abounded unto many. Now, I'm going to read the Amplified version of that. You ready? This is what it says. But God's free gift is not at all to be compared to the trespass. His grace is out of all proportion to the fall of man. You know what he's trying to say? He's trying to say, look here, in comparison to the grace of God, the fall of man is. I'm going to just say it again. In comparison to God's grace, the fall of man and every sin of mankind is. Somebody say. Amen. It says, for if many died through one man's falling away, his lapse, his offense, much more profusely did God's grace and the free gift of righteousness that comes through the undeserved favor of the one man, Jesus Christ. He's telling you, righteousness comes through the undeserved favor of Jesus. Watch this right here. Jesus Christ abound and overflow to and for the benefit of many. What he's telling you is that, listen, man, it ain't about you. It's about Jesus. Look at Romans 3 and 24. Turn there. Romans 3 and 24. Romans 3 and 24. Amen. I usually stop at 1 just to let y'all know. Amen. Romans 3 and 24. Y'all learning something today? See, I want you to walk out of here free. Because when you realize, watch this, this is what's going to happen. When you realize that righteousness is not based upon you, it's based upon him, guess what's going to happen? Now you're going to start getting past works and getting to the place where I can start seeking him and start beholding him and start worshiping him. See, it's all about Jesus. Everything we do is about Jesus. You can call it the Jesus movement. Amen. It's all about him. Amen. To him be the glory. To him be the honor. I couldn't even be standing up here. I'd be somewhere in a garage with a couple of Puerto Rican guys smoking the 51s with paper bags, cigarettes. You better catch what I'm saying. I'd be somewhere jacked up sniffing on some blow if it wasn't for him. Amen. Y'all know ain't nothing good in no man or woman heart. I don't know where we get this good man, good woman stuff. Well, I know my granny went to heaven because she was a good woman. Did she know Jesus? No, but she was a good woman. Then she went to hell. Don't get mad at me. Listen, don't get mad at me. I'm not the one that sent her there. A lot of people won't believe Tupac went to heaven. Tupac didn't go to heaven. If Tupac didn't know Jesus, he went to hell. Come on now, don't make me into being a bad person. See, some people are afraid to say it. Okay? But if Jesus was here, he would say he went to hell. That's why Jesus says stuff like, the guy said, you know what, I want to follow you, and I really want to follow you, and I really want to be a part of your ministry, and I really want to be a tither, and I really want to do this. And then Jesus said this right here. He said, look here. He said, but I'm going to do it, but I got to first go bury this person over here. And Jesus said, you know what? He said, let the dead go bury the dead, and you follow me, and let's go preach the kingdom. And then the one that wouldn't do that, he said, you ain't even fit for the kingdom. See, we done turned Jesus into some old soft guy wearing sandals with blue eyes carrying a lamb. We done turned him into all of that. That ain't Jesus. That ain't Jesus. That ain't Jesus. Jesus walk up in the crack house. Jesus will walk up in the prostitute house. You better catch what I'm saying. That ain't Jesus. Jesus ain't afraid of your sin. Lord, have mercy. We talking about Jesus. We talking about, I can't go over there and minister to that person over there. He got a spot on his eyeball. They told me, I read on the internet that means he murdered somebody. No, what he did is he watched a Lil Wayne video. Lord have mercy. You better catch what I'm saying. Ain't never killed nobody. Ain't never killed nobody. Scared of a bee. Ain't never killed nobody. Lord have mercy. All these fake wannabe people, they just need Jesus. I'm a Crip, I'm a Blood. You ain't nothing. You know what I'm saying? You ain't squat. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Go home and tell them PC said it. I told you he's saving people from the street because they ain't scared of nobody. They tired of them guys go to college for 12 years to come out and give you some religion. I would like for you to turn your Bible with me to the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 3. And we're going to talk about etymology. And we're going to talk about homiletics. And we're going to talk about, man, forget all that mess, man. We need some revelation. We need something that's going to get somebody free. Lord have mercy. We need something that's going to get somebody free. See, I'm a living testimony, baby. Amen. I used to smoke crack. I used to do this. I done told this story, but I'll tell it again. I used to, Lord, I did all kind of mess. Amen. I did so much stuff that my mama was ashamed of me. My stepfather walked out. I was in my Monte Carlo. He said, you a crackhead too. Didn't nobody like me. My friends didn't like me. Somebody threatened to kill me. Three people shot at me. Baby, you better catch what I'm saying. But I'm standing up here because of the grace of God. The grace. Better catch what I'm saying. Amen. Amen. Need nobody stand up here telling you, I read 12 chapters of the Bible today. Well, how many words of that 12 chapter do you live? How many do you live? Mr. Silver Spoon. That's for all of y'all who thought because I had on a shiny suit that I was, you know, better than everybody. Listen, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, just like you. Hey, I leave you with no excuse. You can be whatever God called you to be. You can do whatever God called you to do. Baby, you can take the limitations off and think really, 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 really big. Why? There's no limitations in God. If you feel like you got an anointing on you to save the world, then baby, go save the world. If you feel like you got an anointing on you to be a next Bill Gates but do it God's way, then baby, go do that thing. My Lord, have mercy. Romans 3:24. Let's look at the Amplified. All, somebody say all, are justified. The word justified means to be declared righteous. All are declared righteous and made upright and in right standing with God freely and gratuitously by his grace, his unmerited favor and mercy through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus. Key word, redemption. Somebody say redemption. You could title the subtitle, you old goat, because I'm going to bring out what redemption means. The word redeem means to buy back. Somebody say buy back. See, you mean to tell me when Jesus died on the cross that his blood wasn't enough to cover you? Let me tell you about your value. See, God is the original Jew. So let me tell you about your value. You ready for your value? In order for you to purchase something, you have to have something that is equal to the purchase. You better catch what I'm saying. If I'm going to buy a pair of high top Adidas, they're going to cost me probably $60. Amen. I can't walk up to the retailer and say, can I get them shoes for 50 cents? I don't care how good of a talker I am. I can't do that because what I have is not worthy or not equal to the value of what I'm trying to purchase. So you cost so much that God purchased you with the blood. That's your value. That's how much you're worth. Lord, have mercy. You mean to tell me you esteem yourself so low when Jesus saw you so high? The Bible said he endured the cross, despised the shame, but he did that thing for the joy that was set before him. Why? He knew that many sons and many daughters was going to be brought to glory. He knew that you was going to walk like he walked. He knew that you was going to talk like he talked. He knew that you was going to do some big stuff for the kingdom of God. Somebody say old goat. I got to get it out. See, there's a story when somebody used this word in the Greek language. There was a story about a man who had a goat farm and his goat got stolen. Okay. And when his goat got stolen, the guy went out and they did a search for the goat and he found his goat and his goat was bound up hand and feet or feet and feet or whatever they have, hoof and hoof. The goat was bound up and it was laying in a ditch. And then the man walked over to the goat and he thought the goat was dead. And he looked at the goat and he thought the goat was dead, but the goat wasn't dead. He tapped the goat was still alive. Somebody say the goat was still alive. I'm telling you, say, you old goat. Now watch this right here. So the goat was bound. So the guy, because he saw the goat was still alive, he cut the chains or he cut the ropes on the goat. And when he cut the ropes on the goat, he hit the goat and the goat laid there like he was still bound. See, they have studied scientifically. You could take an elephant, no matter how big he is, and you could put a pole when he's a baby right there in the ground and put a chain on him, and then that he will see the limitations. He'll see the limitations, and then pretty soon when he gets older, you take the chain off of him. He'll never go beyond the limitations because he's been trained that way. See, some of us have been trained to never go beyond the limitations. Some of us act like that old goat. So this is what happened. The guy finally hit that old goat and smacked him up a couple times and said, "Get up, you old goat. You're free and you don't even know it." See, you're still bound to strife, still bound to bitterness, still bound to molestation, still bound to debt, still bound to anger, still bound to this, bound to alcohol. Get up, old goat. You're free and you don't know it. You ain't got to stay there no more. God favors you. Woo! Hey, he favors you. You are his favorite. Lord, have mercy. Ooh, my God, I feel that thing. He loves you. Watch this right here. Watch this right here. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you're free. I got a scripture for you. I gave it to Miss Bonnie the other day. Turn to Genesis chapter 39. Turn it right quick. I'm going to show you why you're free. See, when Jesus died, Lord have mercy. I got to walk it up like a good pastor. Amen. Let me not do the homiletical etymology stuff. Let me walk it up like a good pastor. You ready? Okay. When the first offense happened, all men became sinners because of what Adam did. Therefore, mankind was alienated from the presence of God. Mankind was alienated from the life of God. So notice that Moses knew God's ways, but the people knew God's acts. They were afraid to go up to the mountain and talk to God. Why? Because no man could go where God was. Moses went to a place where no man has ever gone before. Amen. Jesus did it. Lord have mercy. Let me just walk this up right quick. Help me, Holy Ghost. So you and I did not have access to the presence of God. You and I didn't have access to the favor of God. You and I didn't have access to the grace of God. We couldn't just walk in where God was because, it, matter of fact, when they even touched the Ark of the Covenant wrong, men dropped dead because you didn't have access to the presence like that. Somebody said you didn't have access. Okay? But when Jesus died, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2 says this, therefore being declared righteous. Somebody say, I'm declared righteous. Then he tells you how, by faith in Christ Jesus, I have peace with God. Somebody say, I got peace with him. See, the word peace is a 1515 in the Greek language, and it's the word Irene. If your name is Irene, your name means peace, if you didn't know. But Irene is the word for peace, okay? But the word peace, now I'm about to give you some revelation. You ready for this? Somebody say, Holy Ghost. When Jesus taught, Jesus didn't speak Greek. Possibly he spoke Aramaic. Hear what I'm about to say. So when Jesus said peace, he didn't say Irene. He said shalom. Because he was still under the covenant, the old covenant. See, we translated it Greek. But the word peace in the Old Testament is the word shalom. And the word shalom in Old Testament means nothing missing, nothing broken, well-being and prosperity. See, we just say peace to people and we don't know what it means. When you say peace to a person, it means nothing's missing. Nothing's broken. You have well-being and you have prosperity. But the Greek word Irene means to be set at one again. So now we can understand why you have nothing missing and nothing broken. Because you became one with God again through faith in Christ Jesus. We're going somewhere. Then he says, because of this, we have access by faith into the grace of God where we stand expecting the glory of God. Okay? Now, because Jesus died on the cross, you and I have been made one with God again. One with God. We've been made one with God. We've been made one with God. Now look at Genesis 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was... circle the word with. And because he was with him, read the next part. And he was a. Did you catch that? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God is with you. I don't care how you messed up last night. God is with you. I don't care what you done last week. God is with you. You better catch what I'm saying. Because I can feel it poking people in their spirit. No, you got to live holy. Yeah, you do got to live holy. You know why you should live holy? Because you already are holy. In the mind of God, you are holy. In the mind of God, you are righteous. You think God sees you? He don't see you. He see Jesus. He don't see you. He see Jesus. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. Turn there. Make sure you're here Wednesday, because I'm going to tell you the pathway to the grace. But I tell you what, everybody in this church should be running out of here just trying to access grace like never before. I'm talking about you and I'm just going to help you out right here. The way you access grace is through faith in Jesus and or his word. The more you talk his word, the more grace increases in your life. You have an unlimited resource of grace, but you got to receive it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You got to receive it. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're going to be done right here. You ready? You learning something today? My God, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you are free. Say, neighbor, I bet that old goat got up now. Look at verse 18. But we all, matter of fact, let's back on up. Verse 17, now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The word liberty means freedom. There is freedom. Is the Spirit of God here? Come on. Is he in you? Then you're free. Come on. Somebody say amen. Amen. You're free. I don't care what it looked like. All you got, listen, I told somebody this the other day. If you never knew about the movie Matrix, Neo comes from the Greek word, which means to be born anew or born again. Okay? Morpheus comes from the Greek word morpho, which means to change or fashion. Where we get the word metamorphosis, okay? So Morpheus, if you remember, his job was to tell Neo who he was. He knew who Neo was the whole time. He knew Neo was the one when Neo didn't know he was the one. See, the Holy Ghost on the inside of you know who you are. He know that you are the one. Even when you don't know that you're the one. Lord, have mercy. See, God got this whole thing set up. When Jesus died on the cross, he died because, let me just tell you something. We've been restored back to right fellowship with God Almighty. Not only have we been restored, and he ain't smacking you upside the head with a hammer because of you doing something wrong. Not only have you been restored, he got a great plan for your life. And you know what? He got a plan for you to embarrass Satan. See, somebody gonna catch this. You were built to embarrass Satan. Come on, say that. Say, I was built to embarrass Satan. Or maybe you like some of them old religious people told me, don't say that loud because the devil might hear you. You got to get up in the morning and say, I was built to embarrass Satan. See, when I pray now, when I pray for you, when I pray for the church now, understanding my unmerited favor and undeserved favor and unearned favor, the grace of God that's upon my life and the holy call of God that's upon my life. Now understanding that call, when I pray for you, I bind every demon in hell off of your life. I talk to him. You don't got no power over one person that's a tithing member of Image of God Christian Center Church. You lying, foul spirit, I curse you. Take your hand off their money. Take your hand off their body. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. See, that's the believer's authority. But if you still think that, oh, my God, I watch Amityville Horror. I ain't talking to the devil because he going to come bleeding through the wall. And when he bleeds through the wall, he going to get me. He going to get me, you old dummy. The devil don't got no power over you. The devil has no power over you. The devil has no power over you. To say he got power over you is to say that his death was in vain. He restored and reinstated you, regenerated you, new creatures in Christ Jesus, his image, his likeness. You have dominion. You can be fruitful. You can multiply. You can replenish. You can subdue. You can have dominion. You can have whatever you say. Whatever you've been getting is exactly what you've been saying. You haven't understood your authority, so you keep saying, I'm sick. I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I'm that. And guess what? You're getting exactly what you say, because death and life is in the power of your tongue. It ain't just my tongue. You're getting what you've been saying. Come on, somebody say amen. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding. You know what it means to be open face? It means at one time you couldn't see God, but now you have the ability to behold him. Every day you can get up. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, man. There's been times in my life I've done stuff that I should not have done. Now, I ain't saying I was out sinning. Hear me. I've done stuff that I should not have done. Maybe I mistreated somebody. Maybe I didn't handle my wife correctly. Maybe I didn't handle my daughters correctly. And guess what? I go into the presence of God and his sweet aroma of his presence comes over me because he loves me so much. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But we all, with unveiled face, here we go, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. The word glass is translated mirror. Y'all can get up. We're about to end. We are changed. Somebody say, we are changed into the same image. Come on, stand up. Somebody say, the same image. From glory to glory.